Good evening. Nice to see you. Welcome back. Let's do the introductions around.
Jennifer.
Wendy.
Britt. Marie.
Jeffrey.
Rodney.
Courtney.
Dawn.
Lucy.
Forrest.
Ron.
Yvonne.
Kat.
Isayo.
Bob.
So probably Jorge has told you that we're studying the precepts, Rodney. And I wanted to start by having Jorge tell us what's written on your rakusu.
Oh, yes. Okay.
This is written by Koban.
It says, the Buddha realm is entirely attained through the precepts.
The Buddha realm is entirely attained through the precepts. So it brings it right down to the ground. It's not any fancy thing. And it's not some moral imprecations that is being laid on us. We ourselves are the Buddha realm. And our life is the precepts. So I sent everybody home, sent us home, I went home with it too, with the second precept, which is no stealing or no taking what is not given. Suggesting that there are many levels to that, that we take other people's ideas, we can steal somebody's husband or a piece of candy. There are infinite ways that we can take what is not given. And the other side of it, of course, is generosity, which is the first bodhisattva priest, the other called the paramita, that generosity or dana paramita, how to give, is the other side of this no stealing. So when we say the precepts and say no stealing, we're also vowing to practice generosity. Remembering the positive side, it's very helpful, because otherwise it begins to feel like it's this gloom that's being put on us, that we better behave ourselves or something. And it doesn't mean that. It's just a help. A help for us to remember ourselves. Just wake up to our own self as we are, rather than blindly going through our life without paying attention to how we're enacting and being enacting our life. We're always doing action. Thoughts, ideas, we're full of them. We're full of opinions. We're full of all kinds of stuff in our mind. But our life is being acted out as we live. And so when we address the precepts are giving us how we enact ourselves, for good or for ill. And paying attention to that then brings us back to being conscious of how it is with us. And no blame. We're human, we break every precept. And so if we study the precepts and think that when we're finished it will be all polished up and pure, it doesn't work that way. It just makes us more accessible to ourself and to the rest of the world. Makes us more honest. Maybe a little more humble when we see how we do enact and are enacted. We have to see that it's not perfect and that it's okay. It's fine. And sometimes pretty funny. So sometimes we break a precept and then have to laugh. You know, we're pretty silly creatures sometimes. And it's not so serious all the time. So I'm hoping you all have come with some experience of your own activity during the week that might have something to do with this not taking this other side of generosity, where it has taken you. Me too.
This may seem negative, but could you address like giving too much, allowing others to steal? I feel like that's another way to break the precept. You know, like giving and then people take advantage of you.
Yes. Yes. So they're always, that's how you know, that's how you come to know what's too much is by doing it. And then you realize you're not doing them any favor and they're certainly not doing you any favor either. So it's wonderful when you're able to see that and just realize, oh, I don't have to do that. And that you could say is allowing yourself to be stolen. No. That you're not volunteering yourself so much as being taken or taken for granted. So then it's up to you to stop being so accessible. Forest?
It makes me feel better. When I talked to you, I was listening to you, gave, like in 2011, I was listening to last night, and you were talking about how COVID used to, yeah, people come over to his house like in the middle of the night, and they, you know, or call him and say, we're having problems, you need to come over at like,
yes.
2 in the morning. Yeah, so.
Yes.
You know, so him too. The Bodhidharma version is no gaining, right? No, mm-hmm. No thought of gaining.
Yes.
Right. And I guess I just wanted to share that I haven't thought a lot about times. It's a lot easier for me to realize when I'm killing life. I said I'm a snail. It's just so big and juicy. And I felt really bad for a second. And I'm like, you know, what am I gonna do? You know, I didn't bring a flashlight. But the no stealing thing is hard for me to identify during the course of a week. You know, it's not like I'm not a, you know, I don't like steal from people, like in a very literal sense. And it's a much, I think, more, like I might have to look for it a little bit more to see where it's actually happening. But I will say that I have, in the last few months, given up a lot of my possessions and really simplified the place where I live and my livelihood, and that feels really good. that all that stuff that I was hanging on to, mm-hmm. that I thought was mine, that I needed to have for some reason, that
yeah.
we don't for I don't need very much. And to get closer to that, kind of on the Parmita side, I guess, but it's just quite a nice room.
That's a big part of it, is giving up that, and realizing that we don't own anything. None of it's ours. It's in our care, and it's our responsibility as long as we hold on to it. But we tend to become so attached to stuff that the clutter gets in the way of practice. So it's very wise of you. Yeah, thank you. Yes, Yvonne.
So you talked last time about the first piece of inoculating and I was eating. If one were to take this to the absolute, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of I was thinking that the more I think about the precepts, it seems to me that what we try to arrive to is balance, peace of mind, and we have conscience that kind of guides us wherever we are at that moment to kind of make a balance as to how much do I need, and, right? Because we take, always take.
Yes.
Because we don't, we want to survive.
Right.
And we always give, because we won't survive without giving either. So there's some balance we strike where we find inner peace. That, yeah, I'm not stealing and I'm not giving away too much, right? So my action is in balance with my own conscience. But as we proceed on the path, I think that the balance depends on, of course, our attachments. This is kind of the, you think about the balance, right? It's how much attachment we have on this side and we balance with some other side.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the more we give away, meaning the more we detach ourselves, there's less on our balance, there's less on the other side. So really like the comment that Forrest just made, right? You reduce your life conditions to much simpler life and you have your needs. So you need to take less. So your need for, or I have to say that, the opportunity that you may have to find yourself that you may sometimes steal is less. Right? So the less you have, the less needs you have. So it's always some kind of a balance, and we try to, you know, move our balance towards our goal, but it's sort of like that curve in physics, right?
Yes.
They never touch, right? It just kind of continues being closer and closer towards some perfection, but never arrives there. So the precepts are sort of, I think somewhere in Buddhism they talk about the middle way, right?
Yeah.
And it seems to me that if one strikes the balance of one's actions and thoughts, then one achieves a peace of mind, and if you have a peace of mind, you can actually sit and allow the, you know, our practice to be more fruitful.
Mm.
And if you have a perfect balance and peace of mind, then you have achieved what it says in your episode.
Well, that's the ideal, of course. Right. Yes. Ron?
The Bodhidharma Buddha kind of taking what do they give us. Say I take a pencil off somebody's desk, that's not too big of a deal. Maybe I return it. You know, I think most people as long as I return it within a reasonable time and say, oh, I'm sorry, I borrowed it. Most people are not.
Why are you sorry?
Go too crazy about it. But if it comes to money, you know, like, oh, I took $100 out of your purse or wallet, and oh, by the way, I'm going to pay it back. That's not too good. It's not always so clear cut. What about, say, in time of war or something like that, like you're starving to death, and if you say you're in a concentration camp or something, you're starving to death, they don't feed you enough to even stay alive. If you stole some bread or something,
yeah, Coven's
to sustain your existence, you know, it wasn't given by the people, the whole people who were keeping you there.
Coven's example
is that stealing in an absolute sense, but you know what I mean.
It depends.
It's given by fate in that sense, maybe.
It depends on how tightly you hold on to your own survival.
Yeah.
So that in Coben's example of this as the Bodhisattva way, that if there are two people and one little jug of water out in the desert, and there's only enough water to get to the what do they call it, oasis, then you always give that person the water. So it turns out to be, as all of these are, basically about our understanding of our interconnectedness, our complete interbeing with all other beings. And so if there are two people and only one of them can survive, then you go for it. You let them go.
You would try to share as much as you can.
Yes, of course. And again, that's an ideal.
In some situation where somebody, you know, your survival might depend on it, you know, it's less clear cut. You could just say, oh, no, I can't take that food. I have this child.
Yes.
It's not so clear cut at that point. Or you could say you have a family or something. Just, and they might eat some food or something. And the only way you could get it would be to take it somehow. Is that? Well, I read some stuff, I've been reading some diaries of George Orwell. He talks about doing spending some time with these hop pickers in England, and they're mainly from the east end of London. They live in shacks. They regularly raid all of the orchards for apples or whatever.
They
need it to live, exactly.
Yes.
Sort of living off the land, you know.
Well, that reminds me of Donna Lynn's story. I'm sorry she's not here, because she has a great story about one of the times when we were studying the precepts, and this is the one we were studying, and she was walked out to the parking lot with Joyce and was going to take Joyce home. So they got in the car, and Donna Lynn looked, and leaning over the fence right out there in the parking lot was a branch of a lemon tree with big lemons on it. And so she jumped out of the car and started picking the lemons, and it got back in the car and said, isn't that great? Oh, and Joy said, where were you tonight? So we're always in a dilemma like that. It's always, just as Yvonne is saying, we're always tipping and trying to find the right way. But it's...
Did you knock on their door?
No.
It
was over the fence. It was in public property, so.
But, you know, the point is we can't keep every single precept all the time.
No.
Sometimes other things, other factors come into play. I mean, we're keeping them as best we can. Sometimes a survival situation.
We're observing them.
Yes.
We don't have a choice.
Yeah, I think we do have a choice. I think the way I understand it, the balance that we find in our precepts pretty much depends on our attachment. I guess ultimately one becomes detached from one's own body as well. So it's counterintuitive to us, maybe not, because we all want to survive, and survival is a very strong instinct, but it's just an instinct to preserve the body.
Mm-hmm.
And if one has release the grasp on one's own, instinct for survival, then let's say you find yourself in the desert with one jug of water and two people, and you are completely detached, even from your instinct for survival, you are then have the ability to make the most skillful action at that time. And maybe you should survive because this is so greatly good, maybe the other person should survive because this is greatly good, but you will be able to take this action or make that action without with clear conscience, with clear mind, and no suffering, right? We all die sometimes, right?
Yeah.
At least we made a choice. So I think it boils down to where we attach to, and that's how we draw the line.
Well, I didn't mean we absolutely didn't have a choice, but sometimes in terms of relative, possibilities.
I mean,
we'd be giving life to somebody else.
Modern people,
by doing something. Thing if you're out in the wilderness and you're lost, if they don't kill.
What if that other
catch
person,
a fish? Catch a fish.
What if that other person was your son?
The other person was my son. Well, that would be a different situation.
That's the thing.
The desert situation, I probably would kill him in the heart.
Yes.
But I was thinking some other situations where,
then you should have the water.
Survival might depend. Not just me, but my son and my family and the people who have this stuff.
Yes.
But if you take the water for yourself, you just observe what you do.
Yeah.
There's nothing to break. There's nothing to lose or win. Oh, look what I just have all these lemons all of a sudden. Look what I did.
That's it. The difference in intention also is my intention just covetous, like, oh, I see that cake in the room, I take that cake and eat it all for myself, or is it there's some other balance, some other.
Exactly.
For a good reason or a good cause.
That's why we're staying awake when we face whatever we're facing, whether it's a cake or a drowning child. We have to decide moment by moment, what do we do? So my own teacher is a very good example of one way of going. But that's not for everybody. Not everybody is as radical as Koban is. But the understanding, the widest understanding that this is based on, is that there is no difference between you and whoever you're with. That, as Ritu just said, everybody is family. So, it's a matter of attitude and intention, as you say. And it's difficult. Nobody says this practice is easy. It's really hard to make these decisions, hard to open up our mind wide enough to allow others in the way that we long to. So this is an enormously helpful tool for our longing, to help us reach into that place in us that knows that we're all family.